It's never a good idea to bet against God. If He says it's going to happen, it will, even if it looks impossible at the moment. When skeptics doubted that Germany would rearm, we here at Tomorrow's World never shied away from saying, without reservations, that Germany would experience a turning point from pacifism to militarism. Why? Because of Bible prophecy. Following World War II, Germany had no appetite to return to its military past. It appeared to all, and still does for most people, that the nation had learned its lesson and would never again wage offensive war against its neighbors. The United States' nuclear umbrella would keep its neighbors to the east at bay, and with the fall of the Soviet Union, the threat of war appeared to come to a close. The Cold War was over. Military preparedness declined, but the United States still carried the load to protect the continent. While American presidents failed in pressuring NATO nations to pay their agreed-upon 2% of GDP on military spending, Russian President Vladimir Putin, by invading Ukraine, managed to accomplish that goal overnight. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz gave his famous Zeitenwende speech, meaning a turning point, on February 27, 2022, a mere 3 days after the invasion. Germany was not alone among NATO nations announcing increases in military spending. And this is not the whole story, as we see a massive arms buildup around the world. Where is this heading? Do you realize the answer is found in the Bible? On today's program, we'll see two very different messages from the pages of the Bible regarding swords and plowshares. I'll also be offering you a vital resource that goes into greater detail to aid you in proving for yourself that what we say here at Tomorrow's World is true. So have writing material available to take down our contact information to order your free copy of our popular resource, Armageddon and Beyond. And I'll be back in 5 seconds, so don't go away. A warm welcome to all of you from all of us here at Tomorrow's World, and from our Living Church of God congregations and co-workers who sponsor this program. Who would have thought that even a year ago that European nations would boost defense spending to a whopping 5% of GDP? Yet today, that is the trajectory on which most are committed. And the speed in which European countries are ramping up military spending and preparing for war is astounding. I said in the introduction to today's program that the future is found in the pages of the Bible, and indeed it is. What we see happening before our eyes is the fulfillment of a very specific biblical prophecy for our time. The world is currently arming for war, and this is true for Europe, Asia, the Middle East, North America, and elsewhere. Do you realize this was foretold long ago? Notice this prophecy in Joel, the 3rd chapter. Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. There have been other times of military buildups. The Second World War was certainly such a time. Never before in history had there been a truly worldwide conflict that ended taking the lives of an estimated 70 to 85 million people. So what makes Joel's prophecy so significant? The answer has to do with the time frame. The focus of Joel's visions is the day of the Lord. Notice it in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. The day of the Lord is found in both testaments of the Bible, and is directly mentioned 32 times in an end-time setting when Jesus Christ returns. It's a fulfillment of the biblical Feast of Trumpets, called Rosh Hashanah by the Jews. Specific plagues make up that day and are laid out with the sounding of seven trumpets in the book of Revelation. It's at the last trumpet that Christ returns, and the prophet Isaiah reveals that the day of the Lord, the time of these seven trumpet blasts, takes place during a one-year period of time. Here it is in Isaiah 34 and in verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Everything about the day of the Lord shows that it is a time of war and destruction, when God's wrath will be poured out on unrepentant, rebellious mankind. Here's what we read from the prophet Zephaniah in chapter 1 and verses 14 to 16. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. One would think that such a time as this would have many warning signs, and indeed it does. We'll explore some of those signs in the next portion of this program, but let me tell you about one of the most popular resources we have on this subject, Armageddon and Beyond. People throw about the name Armageddon or speak of the Battle of Armageddon, but have little understanding of what and when it is and who the participants will be. Do you realize that the Battle of Armageddon is not found in the Bible? So where does this idea come from? However, there is a battle associated with Armageddon, and our resource, which can be yours absolutely free of charge, explains this misunderstanding and so much more. To receive your copy of Armageddon and Beyond, call the toll-free number on our screen or go to twtv.org/Armageddon and tell our friendly telephone agent that you want today's offer. And when I return, we'll look at signs leading up to the prophesied day of the Lord.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531. Or go to twtv.org/Armageddon. This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. If you're calling for the first time, you will also receive a free annual subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, 6 inspiring issues discussing news, science, and modern culture will help you make sense of your world from a biblical perspective. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to tomorrow's world for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. Call now or go to twtv.org/Armageddon.
Welcome back. Today I'm showing you that the massive worldwide military buildup that we see as a direct fulfillment of a prophecy found in the biblical book of Joel. But as I pointed out earlier, there have been other times in history when nations geared up for war. However, God's prophecy, as recorded by Joel, is specific to a unique time in human history. He's not speaking about the 1500s, the 1700s, or even last century. He speaks under inspiration from God of a one-year period of time referred to in 30 scriptures as the Day of the Lord, a series of events that culminates in the return of Jesus Christ. Notice that this call to arms is in the context of the final battle when the nations of this world, as difficult as it is to believe, square off against their Creator. Joel 3, beginning in verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's just outside of Jerusalem. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. We've not yet come to the time known as the day of the Lord, but it takes time to manufacture weapons of war. When Joel says, prepare for war, this obviously must precede the final battle spoken of a few verses later. Let's explore further what the Bible describes as this day of the Lord. Do you realize that this is the theme of the book of Revelation? Note it in chapter 1 and verse 10. Here we find the aged John, the last living of the original 12 apostles, being given visions from God about events to come while being a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. Revelation 1 and verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now some preachers tell us that the Lord's day means Sunday. As Kenneth Taylor's Living Letters Bible scandalously paraphrases, it was Sunday and I was worshiping. There are three reasons why the idea that Revelation 1:10 is not referring to Sunday. Number one, the Bible never refers to the first day of the week, that is Sunday, as the Lord's Day. That's a narrative invented long after the crucifixion and is never found in the Scriptures. In fact, quite the opposite is true. And that brings me to number two. If it were talking about a day of the week, it would be the seventh day Sabbath. There are only three scriptures that tell us what day of the week Jesus is Lord of, and it's not Sunday. When the Jews of his day condemned Jesus for breaking their humanly imposed ideas about how to keep the Sabbath, he turned to an Old Testament example before stating emphatically what day he is the Lord of. Mark 2, verses 27 and 28. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now, if the Sabbath were done away, as many proclaim, he could not be Lord of it. Consider carefully. He is not Lord of something that does not exist. Note also from this passage that Jesus said that the Sabbath was made not for the Jews only, but for man. And when was it made? At the very beginning, Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, in other words, set it apart as holy, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. However, Revelation 1:10 is not referring to a day of the week, and that brings me to point number three. The theme of the book is the Lord's Day, the Day of the Lord. The message is contained on a scroll that is sealed by seven seals. Only the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, can open these seals. The first four are what are popularly known as the four horsemen of Revelation or of the Apocalypse. The fifth seal represents a martyrdom of some of the servants of God. Terrifying heavenly signs are seen when the sixth seal is opened, and what follows is something many cannot imagine. Revelation, the sixth chapter, and verse 15. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Yes, the day of the Lord is nothing other than the wrath of the Lamb of God. Few think of Jesus in terms that go beyond sentimental love. They fail to understand his love coming in the form of a terrific spanking, one that is necessary to bring us to our senses. Mankind is arming, even as I speak, for a future that they do not foresee. When Joel spoke of the Valley of Jehoshaphat, he was referring to what many call Armageddon. But that term is badly misunderstood. What is Armageddon? What does it mean for the world? What does it mean for you and your loved ones? And will anyone survive it? The answer to this last question is yes. There will be survivors, and there is good news, wonderful news, for the future of mankind. That's why you need to know not only about Armageddon, but the beyond, that which comes after. For a more complete explanation of this subject, order a free copy of our resource, Armageddon and Beyond. This resource points out the verses in the Bible that answer these important questions. So pick up the phone and call our toll-free number or go to twtv.org/Armageddon to receive your free copy of Armageddon and Beyond. And when I come back after this 15-second break, I'll give you a warning straight from the pages of the Bible.
This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. Call now or go to twtv.org/Armageddon.
We're living in the last days when nations around the world are arming for war. And according to Bible prophecy, wars of unimaginable proportions are coming. However, there is good news, and I'll explain that a little later. But with all that is to happen, it's difficult to understand how this terrible time ahead can catch people by surprise. Yet that is exactly what the Apostle Paul says will happen. How can this be? Revelation 18 speaks of commerce and wealth in the midst of all the troubles. Life carries on, and it appears that it will carry on very well for many. That will no doubt be part of the reason. But here's the warning I spoke to you about before the break. There's also a moment when the world will think the long-hoped-for time of peace has finally arrived. When that happens, when people think that peace has at last come, don't allow yourself to get caught up in the euphoria of the moment. It will not last. Here's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 2 to 4. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. No matter the good intentions of men and women who seek peace, mankind simply does not know the way to peace. So says the word of God in Isaiah 59 and elsewhere. And so says 6,000 years of history. Visitors to the United Nations in New York may notice a statue of a muscular man beating a sword into a plowshare for agricultural use. It was sculpted by a Russian artist and gifted to the United Nations by the former Soviet Union. Do you know where the inspiration for this impressive statue comes from? The message comes from the book of Isaiah and is messianic in nature. In other words, it depicts the rule of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, following his return to rule on earth and brings an end to war. Notice it in Isaiah 2 and verse 4. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is also repeated by the prophet Micah in chapter 4 and verse 3. Does this sound too good to be true? More importantly, do you believe it? Don't think this won't happen. If God could foretell a massive worldwide military buildup to occur just prior to the return of his son, can he not bring about peace when he says he will? Again, it never pays to bet against God. Peace will come, but only after humanity has come to the brink of global suicide. That message is found in the Bible. That is what Jesus said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and verses 21 and 22. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Thank God for his intervention. Except for his great mercy, the unthinkable would happen. That's how close we will come to destroying our earthly home and all life on it. And that is why you need our resource, Armageddon and Beyond. It's the old bad news, good news story, but it's for real. Yes, there is some very bad news in our future, but there is also some good news, some wonderful news. With all the bad news, you need some good news, and Armageddon and Beyond gives it to you. All you have to do is call our toll-free number or go to our website, twtv.org/Armageddon, to receive a free copy of Armageddon and Beyond. Do yourself a favor, order your free copy, dust off your Bible, and prove these things for yourself. And do it today before you forget. And when I come back, I'll fill you in on what is happening beyond the typical news cycles on television or headlines on the internet.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531 or go to twtv.org/Armageddon. This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. If you're calling for the first time, you will also receive a free annual subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, 6 inspiring issues discussing news, science, and modern culture will help you make sense of your world from a biblical perspective. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to Tomorrow's World for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. Call now or go to twtv.org/Armageddon.
We see two contrasting biblical prophecies for the time we're in and just ahead of us. The prophet Joel describes a massive worldwide military buildup leading to a titanic battle near Jerusalem between the nations of the world and the returned Jesus Christ. Notice it again in Joel the 3rd chapter and verses 9 and 10. Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Any informed person realizes that these words are being fulfilled even as you view this program. Not since World War II has there been a time when nations were more intent on preparing for a war that they truly believe is coming. Yes, there was the Cold War when the Soviet Union and the West built massive stockpiles of nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them, that they might guarantee mutually assured destruction. The idea that if each side possessed enough destructive power, neither would dare to use it. It was a dangerous game of blind man's bluff, with each side desperately hoping no mistake would start an unthinkable chain of events that would destroy civilization as we know it. Thankfully, though there were some close calls, much closer than most people realize, that did not happen. For insight into just how close we came to nuclear war, go to our YouTube channel and check out our 2021 award-winning program, Cold War Secrets Revealed. During the Cold War, East and West prepared for war, but hoped it would not come. However, European nations today are preparing and expecting that war will come, and in the very near future. They're seriously preparing to square off against a nuclear-powered Russia. Deputy Director General Ragnar Vaiknemets of the Estonian Health Board, which oversees war preparedness, stated emphatically, "It's not a question of if, that is Russia, will attack, it's a question about when." And the BBC reported German General Carsten Breuer as saying, "We are threatened by Russia, We are threatened by Putin. We have to do whatever is needed to deter that. He warns that NATO should be braced for a possible attack in as little as 4 years. And the sooner we are prepared, the better. Now, that was in March of 2025. By the time you view this program, as little as 4 years is now as little as 3 years. Whether that happens exactly as feared remains to be seen. But the point is that whatever the cause, God, through his prophet Joel, describes a massive military buildup for the end time, and that is happening just as he said. Ultimately, those war preparations will be turned against the King of Kings. But on the positive side of things, Isaiah prophesies exactly the opposite of Joel. Instead of turning instruments of agriculture into weapons of war, mankind will turn his weapons of war into instruments for agriculture. Let's notice a more complete section of this beautiful passage in Isaiah, the second chapter, and verses 2-4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Yes, it is a beautiful passage, but it's more. It's for real. Just as God's prophecy through Joel is coming to pass before our eyes, so God's prophecy through Isaiah will come to pass. Jesus Christ will return to save us from our insanity and set up his kingdom of peace and prosperity. That's when the servants of God will be resurrected to rule with him. That's the message Jesus proclaimed for 3.5 years prior to his crucifixion. That is the message of the kingdom of God, the message we proclaim here at Tomorrow's World. If you'd like to learn more about this subject, be sure to order your copy of Armageddon and Beyond. And be sure to come back next week when Wallace Smith, Rod McNair, and I bring you more of the teachings of Jesus Christ, end time prophecy, and the wonderful news of the coming kingdom of God. See you next time.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531. Or go to twtv.org/Armageddon. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to Tomorrow's World for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.